What's going on, Fear the Walking Dead fans? We are finally back covering 7 and 8, the mid-season finale of Fear the Walking Dead. The vultures finally attacked. The stadium has fallen. Madison is dead, maybe, maybe not. And Alicia is taking over the reins. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, Fear the Walking Dead fans? Are you surprised that we're back? We're not. I know it's been a while, you guys. Please, please forgive us. There have been a lot of things going on, but we are here.
Yes,
and we are very, very excited to talk about episodes 7 and 8 of season 4, Fear the Walking Dead. This song is Mountain Goats' Love, 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 as it was played in the final scene, in the final episode, mid-season finale.
Perfectly fitting.
I am so excited to talk to my beautiful co-host. Go ahead and introduce yourself, my love.
Hey, guys, it's Krista.
Krista Falenge. Get your whole government
out
there.
I'm so sorry.
I am your host, Timothy Michael. I want to know your initial thoughts over these last two episodes. I know we had a few weeks to let it sink in. And you guys, if you are in the chat tonight, let us know your thoughts. We want to hear your thoughts, obviously. Once again, we apologize for being so late on this. But like I said, we've had a few weeks to let it set in. I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, so much happened. I feel like and it's been a while. So like I told you, I rewatched them today. Mm-hmm. But I feel like going back and forth with the past and present, it has been going on all season. And I think now to this last episode, how it all tied in and we got everyone's storylines kind of intertwined. I like how Al was brought back in with Madison.
Right.
So I really like that. At first, I was like, how long are we going to do these flashbacks? When are we going to see Madison? But I think the final episode really tied it all in and it made it worth it.
I'm glad that you mentioned that because throughout this first half of the season of season 4, they have played with these two different timelines. And I, as a viewer, really enjoyed them because we saw what was going to happen, but yet we're still marinating in the fact that they're still on screen. We're still with them, but we know what's going to happen. So there's this constant foreshadowing and constant like dread of, you know what's going to happen, but you're not there yet. And I just love the poeticness and then the just the beautiful way that they shot this entire season. And I wonder if they're going to continue it in the next half.
I know.
But that's more of like a prediction. Yeah. I want to dive into episode 7, The Wrong Side of Where You Are Now, said by Naomi/Laura/June. I know. We'll get to it. Third name. We got so confused here. It started off, or where we left off, was at the shootout. And the last thing we see is Alicia shooting John and going for, obviously, Naomi, Laura, June. And that's kind of where everything sets off. What was your initial thoughts on this shootout between the vultures and Alicia's group?
First of all, there was, what, four of them?
Yes.
Alicia and them and all the vultures. And no one was scathed in Alicia's group. And all of the vultures are gone.
I knew you were going to bring it up. Because when we left off, they were literally standing in the middle of, there's no cover for them. And then all of a sudden they're behind cars and stuff like that.
Don't get me wrong. I'm glad it went the way it went. I was just like, they were so outnumbered. Right. I don't even know when and how it happened. Like, it all happened so fast. And I was like, really?
But I mean, Alicia's group is pretty badass.
They are.
So, I mean, we can't.
There's just so many of them.
I know.
A lot of them started running. So I guess that also took into
play. Well, speaking of running, Naomi, I guess we can call her.
Let's stick to Naomi.
Yeah. She obviously wants to save John because they finally reconnected. And she wants to go after the ambulance because it has some first aid material in it. And freaking Alicia just blows it up. And I was like, okay, they're starting
this episode. If I was Naomi at this point, I'd be like, Alicia, for real? Like, the whole episode, she's just sabotaging her chances at saving John, and they've just met again. So I'm like, Alicia, just relax.
I know, we love Alicia as a character on this show, but
she's got so much anger right now.
Right, but we've learned to know why. But we also have learned to love Naomi/Laura/June.
So it's been real hard.
I know. I don't know who I wanted to go for. There's like these two sides going against each other, and I just didn't know who to go for in this.
You felt for both of them.
Seriously, though. But when she blew up this ambulance, I was like, oh, she's not
she
playing.
Is mad.
A, where did she get a rocket launcher from? And B,
I have a lot of questions about the weapon she's had these two episodes. Like, she's whipped out RPGs. Like,
now she's got like a scythe or something like that. She's got like this I don't even know what to call it, like a machete, it's not a machete.
Alicia is not messing around.
She really is not. And then, so we also see Charlie, and Morgan goes up to Charlie and he's like, you need to come with us. So immediately they're starting off this, I don't want to say war, but that's pretty much what it is, between Alicia's group and Morgan's group. And I'm a little confused as to why Charlie got picked up by Morgan.
Because Morgan wants to save everyone. Ugh. You know, it's just one of those things, and he wasn't going to leave a little girl in the middle of anywhere near Alicia.
Right. I don't blame him.
He was like, you got to go or you're going to die.
Yeah, seriously. So then we have a flashback, and I only want to bring up the flashback because it's opening with Madison and Nick. And if there was anything foreshadowing about this, if we learned after the second episode, is that moment of them standing there talking about the future of the stadium and the crops and stuff like that. It's insane because she says it's better in here. We're better in here. But like they're dead.
I know.
That's crazy. Ugh. That's why I just think that these episodes were just beautifully shot because you want to be mad at it, but you can't.
You're right. There was so much foreshadowing, even with the quotes. Yeah. Every time I'd be like, oh no, don't say that.
You know, that memory is kind of short. That moment is kind of short lived because Charlie comes right back and she's asking for help again. I was like, the nerve.
First of all. Like, I know she's serious? A little girl, but
no,
come on.
No.
Also, especially Madison, falling for this stuff.
Well, good. I'm glad that you brought that up because obviously Madison, being the be-all, save-all person that she is, wants to go and rescue Mel, who Charlie is there to ask for help for. And Nick is disagreeing with her. Who did you side with in that conversation?
I mean, a little bit of both. I would have maybe... No, I don't even think I would have went. I wouldn't have trusted these people at all after everything they did. And also, the way they found them was a bit suspicious. Mm-hmm. Like, the car was fine, but he was not looking good.
So you were immediately suspicious of what
immediately
happened.
For her coming back. I'd be like, I'm glad that they ended up going, but I never would have taken him back. Okay. That would have been like, bye.
See, here's my thoughts on that. When we first see him in the bus crash or whatever, and Charlie's telling the story... They ask her, you know, why were him and Ennis fighting? And if we knew anything, we saw that Ennis did not like, in the last episode, how things got left at the stadium. Obviously, Ennis wanted to do something about it. And Mel is obviously the leader, so that wasn't going to happen. So I could believe that there was a fight or a disagreement between the two of them. What I didn't believe was that Mel just took Charlie and nobody else... And just drove off in a bus. That was what was suspicious to me. Totally, nobody in the group disagreed with Ennis. Or, right.
Yeah.
That's where I was a little like...
Like you're the only one that has a brain and is like, where's that going to get us?
But plus, they're part of the Vultures. So we are immediately suspicious of who they are.
From everything they've done and what we know Charlie's done, it's... But I... Technically, in the present, you don't know all that's going on from the past to the present. So,
right.
But I'm just like, this girl just keeps getting you.
I know. And I liked where they were establishing Madison, obviously because we saw where they brought her, where she became this person who just wanted to save people. But in this instance, I just disagreed with her mindset, her mind process. I don't know why. Speaking of the present, once again, we see Alicia, Lucian, and Strand. They're obviously going right after Althea, Morgan, John, and Naomi.
Yeah.
And we see that Mel is still alive. I thought that he was completely dead in the...
Me too.
In the ambulance, but he's still alive.
Of course.
And Alicia... And I only bring up this moment because you can see in this moment how much she is filled with this hatred. And she wants to know how long Naomi is with them. And I was sitting there going, why does it matter?
Yeah.
Like, you know who she is. Like, even if she was with them, I
know. I think she just... It all comes down to Madison of being dead, which at the time we didn't know.
Right.
But yeah, she just has so much hatred. And it's like, you know, she was with them for a minute. Yeah. So at this point.
Just let it go.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. But I get that all of these feelings came rushing in when she finally saw
her.
She's
just so angry. She's not taking a second to think, okay, there could be like other reasons that everything went down the way it did.
Right. Also, let's remember that, you know, the way that she's thinking, and I know we're jumping a little bit ahead here, but could you imagine seeing somebody who you thought was dead, but it's not your mother?
Yeah. Oh,
could you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, why are you alive and not my mom?
That's exactly what she's thinking. Yeah. I'm sure that fueled it even more.
I'm sure. And then back to the flashback, Mel is chained to the bed and he's dropping all kinds of knowledge on us. He's like, as soon as he was like, I need to get out of here. I was like, okay, what's going on? What's going to happen? Because I was like, you're freaking out a little bit too much, dude. And he tells him that his brother, obviously, had this huge disagreement and he wants to take action on making the stadium fall, which entails leading a whole bunch of dead to the stadium. Now, if you guys watch The Walking Dead, this tactic was used before. I didn't think that they had the manpower or the willpower, speaking of cars, to transport all of these walkers to the stadium.
Agreed.
It A, takes a lot of cars that run, and B, a lot of gas to make these cars run, and these 18-wheelers. Yes. So I'm like, that takes a lot of fuel just to like get these...
I mean, at this point, aren't they better off locked in these sheds and not... Yes. attacking you or anyone else. I like keep rounding them out and leave them there.
I guess
there's no good to that.
I guess Ennis was just like the crazy brother who just wants to do whatever he can.
At this point, I actually felt sorry, not too sorry for Mel, but I'm like, this whole time he's just been trying to, I think, do the right thing sometimes, but I think Ennis is like the one, the like devil on his shoulder that's like making him steer the wrong way. I think he, because you could kind of see it even when him and Madison were talking. Yeah. You could see them where he kind of felt for, and he's like, just leave. He was just leave.
He kind of has some of his humanity left, whereas Ennis was just like, I'm going
to
do whatever.
He wanted them to leave because he knew what was going to happen, and they weren't going to, so he's like, well.
I don't think, see, I'm going to disagree with you there. I think,
when they were in, he went after she brought him back.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant beforehand.
I think he was hinting at it, but he like didn't give her any clear, and it was in their last conversation.
I honestly don't think that the Vultures have ever tried this before. I think that every other group that they've encountered fell before it led to this point, where obviously Madison's group is, they're fighters, so they weren't going to fall, so the Vultures had to step out of their comfort zone and make something happen.
I have a prediction that involves them, that they might have done it before, but it'd be
keep it in mind.
See.
So the I like this moment between Naomi and Mel, though, because Naomi is obviously ahead of the infirmary. And he tries to like pull one over on her, and she like jabs him in like the ribs, and he was like, oh. And she's like, no, this is not the way that it's going to go. But he does succeed in planting like this idea in her head where they need to leave. Mm-hmm. And she goes back to Madison and she tells her, you know, we have to go. And obviously Madison is hearing none of it because she really just wanted this place for her kids. And Naomi says something. She says, if you want to protect them, you're going to have to disappoint them. And after she said that, I was like, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think that's so true. Yeah, I think that what persuaded me to be on Naomi's side in this argument. Mm-hmm. I think that Madison's very stubborn, and I think that obviously not leaving was the wrong choice, but I think that she should have listened more.
I know. Just take the advice.
Yeah.
At least let it muddle with it for a little bit. She just is so quick to be like, no, I'm gonna parent the way I'm gonna just live the way I want to.
And then they keep going with this thing, and Naomi brings up the title of the episode. She says, you know, I've been on the wrong side of where you are now, speaking of the FEMA shelter and everything that happened there with walkers and the infected. And she doesn't want to see it happen to them because she's obviously grown to like these people.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, also, before, do you think she knew the Vulture? Like, did you get the vibe that her and Mel knew each other prior to this?
Mm-mm.
Okay, because, like, a lot of people were saying that they thought they did, but I didn't get that vibe at all.
I saw that, too, when they kind of cleared it up in the next episode.
Yeah.
Where we kind of see...
And people are still like, I feel like she's known them longer. And I'm like, I feel like it was right when she left.
It was right after the whole thing went down.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only one that got that vibe.
I definitely have not. I don't feel that they... knew each other at all.
Yeah.
No.
So that, I agree with her. I think she was just, she's grown to like them. And could you imagine having to watch two like groups that you've finally, she's such a good runner now. Yes. She doesn't stay with people. And she finally stays.
Her stamina has got to be off the charts.
And she stays for like a week. And then that's what she, you know, I wouldn't want that to happen to two people, especially two groups of people that I was associated with.
Yeah.
And like that I could have prevented it. Mm-hmm. So she's just trying to, you know. Do what she can.
Right. Well, Madison's over it because she goes right to Mel and she's like, you know what? You need to leave.
Exactly.
And she gives him the car that she prepped, that she told Alicia to prep.
I hated this moment.
Why?
I was like, just let him on his feet. Make him walk. I don't understand why you're giving him the Rover of goodies.
The Land Rover of goodies. Yeah. I love that.
I was just like, why?
I completely agree with you. I think that whatever provisions that they had in there could have lasted them. Because we already had this moment with Nick and Madison. And he's saying, you know, it's going to take about a few months for these crops to grow. And if Madison's really planning on staying there for as long as they need to.
Keep the car.
Keep the car with the supplies in it. Or at least just keep the supplies. Give him a car.
Yeah. There's so many.
I know. But there's a stipulation. He can't take Charlie.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
I'm typical of Madison because she's grown attached to this girl. And even though, but we've also seen that Charlie obviously is grown to like these people. Like, she looks at Mel and as a brother or father type figure. So I don't think she's going to be too happy about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure she'll get used to it.
What I liked, I don't know. What I liked about that is that Mel kind of teased a little bit of Charlie's backstory, how she literally saw her parents killed in front of her. And he was the one that kind of took her in. But then he says to Madison, I don't want... Why do you want to put her through that again? Obviously, just anticipating that they're going to die in front of her, which is a little ballsy for him to say at that moment, especially when you want something that somebody has of yours. But then Madison says, no one's gone until they're gone. And that just introduced us to the next episode or the title of it. And literally just her motto or her mantra of life, no one's gone until they're gone.
I love it.
Do you agree with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like it.
When she says gone, and I just want to break it down really quick. When she says gone, what do you think she's talking about?
I think, so how, especially when it comes to witches a little bit for like talking about the next episode, which we're about to get into.
Yeah.
I think especially with like Nick and Alicia, it's also not, it's their characteristics too. Like with Alicia, if and when we talk about Madison dying, like Madison's not technically gone because she's still like living through Alicia too. So I think if you keep some of those characteristic traits, like your kindness and everything, I think that it helps that live on through them. I mean, you're physically gone, but you got to kind of keep some of them with you. And if you do, it helps them live on.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. Really quick, though, After Buzzers, here at the network, we produce after shows are nearly... for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But now we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. Besides helping us a ton, here's what's in it for you. It caters specific content you already like directly to you. It brings you your favorite after shows so you don't have to seek them out. And it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that might interest you. Subscribing to our YouTube channel will also help you discover new shows we're sure you'll love. Since you've already tuned into Sci-Fi Superheroes and Fantasy, our amazing after show Fear the Walking Dead, you may also like Preacher, Luke Cage, Cloak and Dagger, and Into the Badlands, also on AMC. Just really quick tip. And remember, we have channels for other genres too, such as wrestling and sports, animation, reality, competition, reality, all kinds, you guys. So please don't be shy about subscribing to them either. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be. Notifications are optional. So it's easy. Hit that subscribe button now for an even easier AfterBuzz TV experience. And if you let us know that you did in the comments, we'll shout you out on air. We already do our little shout outs, but it's just a little stipulation for you to shout out as well. Thanks for being the best fans, you guys. We promise to continue to do our best to serve you. So a little bit of a different spin on our live reads.
Yeah, but switching it up.
I'm glad that we are telling our fans that, you know, to subscribe, because it's definitely a thing that you guys should do, especially if you love us here at AfterBuzz TV.
It helps you. It helps us.
It helps everybody. It's a win-win.
Yes.
It's a win-win. Back to our Fear the Walking Dead after show, you guys. I want to talk about Nick and Alicia going after Mel, because Charlie convinces them to do that. Did you agree with that decision? Because they both... There was no... Like with Madison and Nick kind of disagreeing on going after or bringing Mel back to the camp or back to the stadium, Nick and Alicia both seemed gung-ho on helping Mel.
Which was weird, because you were so against, especially Nick, bringing him in, and now you want to go back and get him. I think it's literally just because of Charlie. Mm. You know, and I wouldn't, especially after I was just told what's coming, I feel like I'd want to be there to, like, you know, figure that out. It's like a really crappy time for you to go do that.
I agree.
But it's because of Charlie.
What I did like was that on their way out, Strand, like, tells them, you know, your mother did the same thing for me, so it's not in my place to stop you.
You're not gone until you're gone.
Yeah, just another foreshadowing kind of, like, nail in the coffin that we're like, oh, Madison did all these things to kind of lead up to.
And it also can work like that, too. Like, you can change, you know. She thinks she can change people even if they're, you know, not looking savable.
Yeah. So Nick and Alicia get to Mel, but then they see this convoy of like 18-wheelers headed toward the stadium, and they walkie Strand and they let him know. Madison's obviously a little pissed that the kids are the
She's
kids
like,
left.
Damn it.
But they have other things to worry about. And the vultures attack just begins. Now, did you think that this was a smart and calculated attack? And if you did, are you surprised that it was Ennis who thought about it?
I mean, it does not surprise me really, that the twisted mastermind. Like... I feel like the fact that they've been... What else would they have been, like, hoarding those walkers for? Like, what other reason? I mean, and numbering it. But the numbering's weird. I guess just to know how many you've collected for, like, bragging rights.
That's a good point. I never thought about that.
So maybe for, like, different attacks, he's like, there's 750. What was, like, 756 was the highest one, or 765 was the highest one we saw.
Yeah.
So, like, he's like, that's for, like, the big jobs.
Yeah. It's a good theory. I never thought about it.
I just don't know why else you do it. But he's so, like, mean that maybe he was just doing it in case he ever needed them for anything.
Yeah.
And had no idea what it would be.
Yeah.
Now he's like...
Here's where I was a little confused. So Nick and Alicia are right behind the convoy when they get to the stadium. And their car is literally in the middle of the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they pull ahead of where the walkers get loose from. Because they want to get, obviously, into the stadium. Alicia's telling Madison, don't open the gates because it might be a trap. But you have all these walkers behind you. I don't think anybody's going to try to get into the gates with all of these walkers.
You don't understand how many questions I had about this
scene. I had so many questions. And
first
then
of all...
Go ahead. Okay, I know what you're going to say. No,
why are all the walkers going towards the stadium and not back towards the vultures who are standing right there and, like, living, breathing people? Also, why don't they go to the fire when it's lit when we know that walkers like fire? It's just like they're just so... Did they train them to go to the stadium instantly?
I don't know.
They spread out and how it affected everyone it did, I was like, this is just so chaotic and not how I would have assumed this would go down.
See, initially when we saw that truck leaking the fluid out of it, I was like, obviously it's oil or gasoline or whatever. I thought they were going to initially light a fire to attract the walkers toward the stadium.
Made sense.
And they didn't. Well, they did.
They kind of herded them.
They kind of herded them. But I do agree with you, the fact that it was a very smooth transition for these walkers to just
like too easy.
Yes. Another thing that bothered me was that Alicia and Nick didn't drive away. The whole thing.
That too.
You guys, let's talk about this really
quick.
Find
your mom later.
Because literally, if you think about it, the only reason that they opened the gates later was to go and get Alicia and Nick because they were trapped out there.
Yep.
If they had just driven away...
They would have... You guys could reunite later. Maybe you could have helped clear the walkers out so they could have... You know, so many different scenarios. But the fact that you left is the reason the rest of the stadium tried to escape and now is dead. And the reason your mom went back in to... You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You should have left.
Alicia and Nick could have used the car with the horn to kind of...
So many different things
kind
they
of
could
herd
have done.
The walkers into a different... Or disperse them a little bit. Something. Something
or like
could
left
have been done.
Until the vultures left and then came back and herded them away.
Like, I understand that you're worried about Mel and getting him to the stadium. But at this point, Mel is kind of like a... He's kind of like priority C. We have other things that we need to worry about.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. If he dies, he dies. I don't know what to
say. Just keep him in the back. Just go about your business.
Right. We got other stuff to do. So in the present, Althea and their group finally get to the stadium where they need the medical supplies for John. Which brings us into the mid-season finale. of season four, episode 8 of The Walking Dead, called No One's Gone, which obviously we've established that it was Madison who originated the line. What I liked about the opening of this episode is that Madison, who's a bad girl, meets up with Althea, who is also, and I was like, okay,
I was not expecting that,
not at all. I was like, who is this guy that she's rolling up on? And it wasn't a guy, it was actually Althea. I enjoyed seeing the dynamic of the two of them together.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
I did. And I also liked, we had talked about it before and we're like, are we ever going to see how they like got out of the river after the bridge blew? And we didn't.
No.
But we also like didn't think we were ever going to go back to that time.
No.
And we kind of did because that was her prior. That's what I took it as.
Yeah.
That's how she found them. But yeah, I was like, that's what she was up to. We didn't really see them coming out of the river or anything, but I like what she had been up to. And
yeah.
I really like their interaction, though.
Me too. And what Madison says to her, she's lost everything, and she's got nothing left to lose, which I thought was interesting because when we first meet them, we don't exactly know where in the timeline. Because I thought this was after they set fire.
Yeah, I thought she was alive.
Right,
and I was
right. Yeah, but then we find out that it was way back when, way back after the Gonzales Dam.
Very
or
sad. I'm
whenever.
Assuming, a time after that. I don't know how long they were separated.
Yeah,
but
then Althea says, if you think you've been through a lot, you've got no idea. And this just got me excited because I was like, are we going to get some backstory on Madison and Althea? We got a little bit of backstory from Althea, which...
Not enough.
I'm still looking forward to seeing more. But in the present, Althea's truck is surrounded in the stadium by all these like burnt walkers, which I thought was really cool.
Oh, that was so cool.
That was really cool.
Was really
and there was
cool.
a lot of them. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I was like, this is This is a lot of walkers.
No, I liked it, though. I was like, ooh.
What I liked about this was Althea once again never stops filming. She even recruits Charlie to keep filming.
Don't stop for nothing.
She's like, no.
Charlie's like, okay.
No. And Naomi's just worried about getting the bullet out of John.
Which, understandably.
Which
so.
Is understandable, yes. Now, in the flashback, Madison is looking for the keys to the SWAT truck. Everybody wants the SWAT truck from Althea. And she does not, obviously, is not going to give her the keys. But what I love about Althea is that she's pretty consistent on what she wants. She's like, I'll give you what you want for your story.
Yeah.
And
never changes.
She never changes. And Madison, once again, tries to, like, just, I don't know, get what she wants without, like, you know, giving out somebody else what they want.
She's not a give and take.
Right.
She's just a taker.
But what I loved about this is that if we established any other... What I liked about this is that this is the beginning of Madison. This is before we saw the Madison who's the be-all, save-all kind of person. Mm-hmm. This is the Madison that she's like, I just need to survive. I need to find my kids. I will shoot you if I need to find the keys. Like, she will do whatever she needs to do. It was nice seeing Madison how she was and where she... kind of got to, you know what I mean?
How you, like, when she gets reunited with her family and why she has this need to find somewhere safe.
Yeah.
I like seeing all
or
of that.
Or this turnover point, mm-hmm. which is pretty much due to Althea, because Althea helped her out when she didn't need to.
Exactly.
Which I liked. So she tries to, Althea is tied up and she tries to fight Madison. She doesn't win, obviously, but Madison takes her tapes. And I was like, ooh, Madison, if you had just left.
That's the one thing you don't take of hers.
But what I do like is that Madison's pretty smart. She was like, I'm going to take the tapes to see if Nick and Alicia are on them, which is pretty smart. Which
you could have just asked, but then she would have had to give.
I don't even think she asked. Althea was still in the, in the present. John is not battling with Morgan, but there's like a little kind of words talked because John doesn't want Morgan to go into the infirmary because it's a death mission. You took the words right out of my mouth. It's a death mission. But Naomi and him are pretty gung-ho on going to the infirmary, but Alicia and Luciana and Strand follow them there. So once again, there's this battle between that group and the other group. And I still, even when they're fighting and shooting at each other, I still didn't know who I was going for.
I know.
It was...
There's like people in each team that I was rooting for, each group, and then I was conflicted.
Yeah. So John is in bad shape, and he wants to leave a message for Naomi, so he kind of recruits Charlie to film something for him, and he tells Naomi in the tape to stop running from people, and he tells Morgan to do the same.
Yeah.
I loved
that's
that.
That's so true. They are both running from people.
They really are. I love that. I'm excited to see where those two characters go together, Morgan and Naomi, June,
me too.
Whatever her
name
is. I
also love that John, on what he thinks is his dying breath, is like, I got a message.
It's John Dory. I mean, I don't expect anything less. I do too. He's just a good guy.
Right?
I really just love him.
God, that's so beautiful.
I'm glad he's not dead.
Me too.
Right?
It was touch and go there for a minute.
It was, and we'll get into it. So back in the flashback, Madison finally gives into Althea and gives her the interview. And... once again, everybody questions Althea. Why are you doing this? What's the point? And she says it's one reality and they share it. They are connected by this screwed up world. And Madison says, well, how can it change things? And this is just one of those foreshadowing things where I was like, how can it change things, Madison? Oh, your daughter finds the tape that you were in and this kind of links all together in the end. Just beautiful, though. Come on.
That's what I'm saying. It all comes back. And I was like, that was worth going back and forth for the last couple episodes.
Right? But speaking a little bit about Thea's backstory, we kind of get a little bit of her and why she continues to do this about the whole, like, little village and the warlord Twisted Round is his name. I was like, that's kind of creepy. And he wanted people's food and water, and nobody cared about those people until she started telling them, like, about this guy. And then they realized that, you know, once the truth came out, they can fight for themselves. And then that's how they kind of had the courage to go against this guy. And that was so, it was so relevant to pretty much every storyline of The Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get the courage to fight for yourself, nothing can really stop you.
Exactly.
Which I loved. I mean, that's not why she said it,
but
it definitely it rings
related
true.
Related to everything that was going on.
What was pretty bad chick of Alicia in the present to do was shoot off that door. And I love
With an RPG.
Again. And freaking, what's her name? Sorry, I'm blanking out on all these names. Althea goes, you know, this is a tank built in a bank vault. And she just goes, Shut the door. And she's like, you want to help me with this door? I was like, I love like, seeing two characters. Like, Morgan and Naomi are cool together, but Althea and Alicia...
They're both headstrong.
They're both headstrong, and they're both really bad females. Mm-hmm. And I really want to... I'm glad that they're...
I know.
Together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like that they're all together right now.
Yeah.
And seeing where that goes.
Toward the end, but that didn't didn't obviously start that way. So we see this fight ensue between Alicia and Althea. And I was a little worried about Althea for a second. I really was. Yeah. I thought she was going to make it.
I was like, you're going to, I don't know.
Yeah. And then they're trying to trap, obviously, Morgan and Naomi. I don't know what to call her anymore.
And then
we got
June Naomi.
And we have C. John, like, pressing the walkie, which I thought was a pretty cool trick.
Brilliant. He's like, here we go.
He's like, I got it.
You even on my and also, weren't you just, like, passing out 2 seconds
ago? Seriously, though.
He's like, Naomi's in trouble. Raised from the dead.
Yeah. So then we have this flashback of Madison. And once again, I like the flashback present. And this is why I wanted to kind of discuss this episode mm-hmm. in the flashback and present, not discussing one at a time. Because in the flashback, we see Madison's interview. And she talks about the rented house in the summer and the bird with the Wilhelmina. Yeah, that bird story with, you know, her kids. And she says, you know, she just wanted a place where she wanted a place where my kids wouldn't have to do what she did to her today. I thought that was another mm-hmm. amazing line from Madison because she really just wants the place for her kids to be safe.
Yeah, that's all she's ever wanted. She doesn't want their light to dim. She sees it go away a little bit every day and she's like, I want to keep it alive.
Yeah.
You're not gone until you're gone.
And she says she lived because my kids didn't give... Oh, she said she about the bird, she lived because my kids didn't give up on her. And that, I feel like facing her story with Althea.
Yeah.
Really made her change to the person that she was. Just reflecting mm-hmm. and talking about it out loud to somebody one-on-one, like, why are you the way that you are, really turned her into this person of like, hey, I want to do something more. Not just to protect my kids, but to protect everybody.
I agree.
Yeah. In the present, Alicia finds the tape of Madison, and that was a turning point for her and Althea, which, once again, just so poetic. Like, all of these things... All of these loose ends are starting to tie together onto why this group needs to be together and not apart.
Yeah.
And what I was not prepared for was that I thought Alicia was going to change her mind about June/Naomi/Laura. But once she goes to the infirmary, and I don't know how she got there.
That's what I'm saying. How'd she? I know the RPG's in there, but how'd she get to wherever it is? How did they all get to the infirmary? How'd you all survive that?
I know how. Obviously, we know how Morgan and Naomi got to the infirmary.
Yes, but Alicia, where did they crawl in from?
I don't know, but I don't know how she got in and no walkers are following her because their walkers behind her. Like, I don't know.
It's just magic.
I don't know, but she's got this gun pointed at Naomi and she goes, "My mom's dead because of what you did." And right there, I was like, "What'd she say?"
I know. I was like, "Wait, what'd she do?"
I was like, "Wait. What'd she say? Her mom's dead?"
Yeah.
Because that's the first...
Yeah.
That was the first line and that then, we got
But that was
also
me being like, do you know your mother's dead? Because...
Right.
Yeah.
Is it like one of those things where we thought Naomi was dead,
exactly.
but she's really alive?
So that's why I'm like, maybe she... And then we see what happens, but I was like, I don't know what to think right now.
Right. And so then Morgan steps is like this whole like barrier between her and Naomi.
Always.
And I believe that if Morgan wasn't there, Naomi would probably be dead. And he says, you know, things can change. They have for me and they will for you. I stepped aside for your brother, but I will not step aside for you. And I was like, okay, Morgan, I don't like you. You get on my nerves. But now I'm starting to like you because that writing is on point.
Right? And the fact that he had that kind of moment with her brother and now he's having it with her. And he's like, I'm not going to have the same outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if he thinks about it, like if she would have killed Naomi... And John lived, John would be going after her.
He'd kill her.
It's a never-ending cycle. So I can understand finally where Morgan is coming from.
We got to stop somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. But at the end of the, but at the same time, Alicia is one of those people that should be fought for. You know what I mean? She should be, you know, persuaded to change her mind because in her heart, she's a good person.
And she's not been like through a lot these past couple days.
Right, right. And the flashback, we kind of wrap up the Madison and Althea storyline where... She gives us a little bit of a Madison saying, you know, we were in El Paso trying to clear out a big space and we got separated. She says she hasn't seen them since. Now, foreshadowing really quick, she says, my kids escaped and I barely got out after them. I just think that that's kind of foreshadowing into the stadium.
Like
the kids got out,
time.
But maybe she will get out too. I have hope. I have hope that she's not dead. But before we get into that, so Althea gives her all this food and she apparently goes to every motel on the way to El Paso or from El Paso.
Right.
And I don't.
Just, what else are you gonna do?
I mean, she is just persistent, and she finds Matt. She finds her kids. She finds Strand,
and they're all alive. Yep. Of course.
And she says, "Somebody helped me when she didn't have to. It's time for us to do the same." So obviously, Althea played a bigger part in this than we could have realized.
Full circle.
Full. Thank you. I think full
360.
Literally full circle. I think just the writing in this.
It was great writing.
It was great writing.
Kudos.
So then, unfortunately, we have to talk about the story with Althea that she gets after the interviews from Strand, Luciana, and Alicia. Mm-hmm. And they talk about how Madison died. I don't know about you, but I was literally brought to tears.
Yeah.
Because it's so
the most poetic, if she is dead, death. I mean, it's totally a mother's death.
It was poetic, but at the same time, I don't...
It was unnecessary.
Thank you. And this is what I wanted to ask you. So she went through this corridor. She led all of the walkers back into the stadium, which was smart. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we think that she knew that she was sacrificing herself in that moment? Because she was supposed to get out.
She thought in her head, like she always gets to do, that she was going to... Because what did Strand say? That there was that door. There was like the... she thought in her head she was going to get out through whatever, but yeah. They were on both sides.
Yeah.
So I think she knew it was a risk, but I think she thought she was going to... That wasn't the end.
Right.
But I still think it was a risk you didn't need to take. I just... I don't know. I feel like there's just something else.
I mean...
But like how else would Nick and Alicia have gotten out?
Well, not just Nick and Alicia, but everybody.
Everyone.
Remember, because everybody from the stadium started to panic, and they all left in their cars, and then they were all
but
surrounded.
But they're all dead now anyways, because Nick and Alicia are the only ones that got out. But she didn't know that at the time.
No, but I mean, it's still, it's just...
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how do we really feel about Madison?
I mean, it was a sacrifice. I think she knew that it was a potential. I think she had hoped that she could maybe... shimmy out of there, but she, once you got in there, could you imagine being like, oh, this is it?
Yeah, I don't
like thousands of walkers.
Well, here's my question to you. Would you have gone out like that, or would you go out fighting? Because in
me
my
personally,
like there was like the way that I was thinking at it, and this is just me and my conspiracy theory brain and watching the Fear of the Walking Dead and Walking Dead after all these seasons. There was like, you know, you turn around and there's like a gate and stuff like that. You could like crawl up.
That's what I'm saying. So Madison 100% I thought would go out fighting. So that's why I'm like, I can't see her just giving up.
Right.
Maybe. I'd be like, I'm done. But Madison, no. That's why I'm like, she has so much, especially you gave your kids a little speech. Now put the walkie down and like fight for your life.
I literally am at a loss for words. If Madison is really not coming back to the show, I don't know how to feel about it. Like, I like Alicia, and if you look at it, they've been setting up the last more than two episodes for Alicia to kind of take the reins on this show in general. But Madison was one of those characters that...
And that's a lot of main characters to kill off in this.
But, okay, so...
And especially, now Alicia's the only main character left, unless Daniel's still out there somewhere.
But thank you. And I'm glad that you brought up Daniel, because I was like, is Madison going to pull a Daniel? Because Daniel was in the same situation,
for all we know, he's still
basement,
out there.
Walker's fire, and he's out there somewhere. So as far as
we
know.
So it's possible because we didn't see it, but it's also like, I don't know.
I hope that she comes
and
back.
And honestly, if she is still alive, like, everyone's pulling a fast one on us because she's like Instagrammed about it. She was on Talking Dead. So
I know.
I'm like,
well, before we get into that, let's get into our favorite kill segment. Thank you, Jeff, for our amazing soundbite. He's our wonderful engineer tonight. Out of the two episodes, who is your favorite kill?
Okay, so we don't know if she's really dead yet or not, but it has to be just the way she went out. Like, I
don't even want to talk about it.
I know. I liked hers, and I liked Mel at the end, crawling out of the ambulance.
Yeah.
That would be my favorite. Like, Alicia, just, you see her, she's gone at that point.
I agree
and
with you.
And the fact that I couldn't believe he was still alive. Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that Mel came back, I was like, oh, and he's not a walker. Okay, cool. Then, yeah, that was pretty cool. And yes, I agree with you. If Alicia is, in fact, dead, then that would have to be the best kill.
Yeah, it just was like, what?
Out of the entire series.
It. Yeah.
Oh, insane. Madison. I know. Let's get into news and gossip before we fall apart in tears, you guys. AfterBuzz TV News. So I know we had this huge debate on whether or not Kim Dixon, who plays Madison, is in fact dead.
Mm-hmm.
According to Talking Dead, which came on right after this show, and according to Kim Dixon's her social media page, she is not coming back.
Like, her interview was pretty vague. It was sad. It's so sad. I loved my character. But, like, I don't know. What if you're pulling? It's like Jon Snow on.
I know.
You know,
we I know.
Maybe.
But they also told viewers not to hold their breath.
That's true.
But they said the same thing about Glenn in Walking Dead.
Such a fastball.
I don't know. I honestly don't.
They did say that about Glenn.
Do you remember? They just said, yeah. So I don't. And like I said, based on the foreshadowing, she was like, oh, my kids got out and I didn't get.
Gone until you're gone, which I know it can mean other things than right. physically gone. But and yeah, I just don't know. I have questions.
Look, here's my thing. If they don't show it, they're not dead.
I agree. I need to see her corpse.
Yes. Like we saw Travis fall from the helicopter. I know, we saw that.
He could still be walking around as a walker, though. I need to see it.
I mean, what he's we know he's dead.
Yeah,
though.
But he still could be walking. I'd like to see him just come back as a walker, but that's a different story.
Yeah, I honestly don't.
Yeah, I need to see Daniel eventually, and I need, but Madison is, yeah, until I see her or I get like visual confirmation, like we see how she actually went out.
Yeah, I can't even go with, you know, even if we don't see her for the rest of the season.
I'm going to be like, maybe.
Yeah, because Daniel's still out there and I still think he's coming back.
Right?
So I don't know. Fear the Walking Dead, I need some closure. I need more closure than what you guys given us. Let's go into predictions because I know we certainly have a lot of them.
And now, your After Buzz TV predictions.
So I just first want to talk about Alicia and where you think the series is going to go if Madison is in fact dead, and where Alicia's character is going to go.
I mean, obviously she's going to take over the role as, mm-hmm. like, you know, the main girl, the person that people kind of look to.
So the main protagonist?
Yeah, I think she's already kind of set up to do that. She's got a really good head on her shoulders. I mean, she was super angry, and she's going through a lot, but I think and she's a really lovable character.
She really is.
Like, she's been around since day one, and since day one, she's been one of the favorites, so.
She's literally the only one from day one. Yeah. Do you realize that, right? Yeah. Travis was the first to go, then Nick, then Madison, and then
Daniel,
now
if we ever see him again.
Yeah.
But he's not on right now, so that doesn't count. She's the last one left.
She's the last OG. That's insane. Do we think that she can carry a show like this?
Yeah, and I also think she'd do a better job than Madison because if Madison is still alive and she finds out about Nick, I don't know if she comes back from that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like,
that's right. Madison did die without knowing that Nick was. Well, obviously, she died before Nick.
He happened after.
Yeah.
But I feel like Alicia will handle that death differently than. I mean, I'm sure Madison would eventually come back from it because she still got Alicia. But, like, at this point, when it's so fresh. Like,
well, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about with Alicia's character, just losing her brother, losing her father, or stepfather. Well, let's even take more
losing
of a step.
Losing your father.
Like her father, and then your stepfather, and then your brother, and now your mother.
You've literally lost your kind of boyfriend.
And your there was several kind of boyfriends that she's had. There was one on the boat that she lost. Do you remember the boat one?
That one was a twist.
And then she lost, Jake was his name?
On the ranch.
She's lost so many people that I couldn't possibly predict where her character is going to go.
I know.
If we learned
Which
anything
could make
from like
her a good leader, because she's kind of like.
I agree with you. I think that Strand is also going to take this really hard. I think that Madison's death is going to put us into a whirlwind that we did not expect to go in the end of season four.
Yeah, also it reminds you that happy little unit was lasting for a bit and like no one's safe. So it's just a reminder.
Yeah. I'm excited to see where these characters go.
Me too.
I'm excited to see how this death impacts them a little bit after, not right after. We obviously saw the look on their faces in the car when she was sacrificing herself. But I mean, I'm excited to see where this goes. I'm excited to see if the past and present timelines continue.
I feel like it's going to, because we're going to get more with Naomi, and I think like that FEMA shelter, I think, is going to come in again.
Okay.
I have a feeling that the vultures are the ones that took down the FEMA shelter and not her daughter.
You had that prediction before, and I think that's what you wanted to say earlier, right? Okay.
Just because there's like something going on with Charlie and Naomi and Mel, and I think there's going to be more backstory that we need to see, especially like Charlie's backstory.
Yes, I agree.
Like where she came from. Is she from the FEMA shelter?
Who knows? You guys, clearly we are very excited about the rest of season four, which comes back in August on AMC. We will be here to cover it.
We will.
We are super excited. I'm so glad that we were able to finally do 7 and 8 coverage.
Yes.
Where can people find you?
Hey guys, I'm Krista Flengy, and you can find me all over social media at Krista Flengy.
And like I said, guys, we won't be back until August, but if you need anything, make sure you comment us, make sure you subscribe to AfterBuzz TV, subscribe to our Facebook, our Twitters as well. Keep the conversation going until August. I am your host, Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at @mtimothymike. And until August, you guys, we will see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.